Om Shanti. So today's topic is being a destroyer of obstacles. So what is an obstacle? Something that you have to overcome to keep going forward. How many of you, for how many of you is English your first language? I'm wondering how many translation, how many of you are getting translation? Okay. So if I ask a question, it doesn't really make sense, right? If you talk, because then I won't understand what you think. All right. And so, yes, an obstacle, I was especially thinking about an obstacle as something that prevents you from making effort, that prevents you from experiencing your original qualities, either peace or love or connection with Baba or bliss or any of those things. So an obstacle is something that is preventing you from making that effort. And so what prevents you from making effort? What prevents you from experiencing Baba's qualities? So do we have constant yoga all the time? We don't, do we? And so there could be various reasons why the obstacles come. And I was remembering the main Hindu deity that is remembered as the destroyer of obstacles. Do you know who that is? Ganesh. You know why he is called Vigneshwara, or destroyer of obstacles? Because he destroys obstacles. There's usually a story associated with it. There's a story associated how he destroyed obstacles. Do you want to hear the story? So there was this once a king, and the king, in keeping with the time at that time, wanted to rule the whole world. So he had immense greed for power. And his name, the king's name was Abhinandana. And he wanted to rule not only the earth, the heavens, everything. So this is from Hindu mythology, right? So I'm relating a story from Hindu mythology. And so what happens is, at one point, his desire is seeing fruition, that he's able to rule a lot of places. And so in his infinite wisdom, God at that time, Shiva, sends this force. And interestingly, that force is, it's a him, and his name is Vignasura, means the demon, the obstacle demon. That's what the name means, the obstacle demon. And so the obstacle demon comes in, and it's kind of like, you could say, a peacekeeping force, or a force that is going to take out this king's desire for ruling the earth and the heavens. And so what happens is, Vignasura, the obstacle demon, is able to successfully stamp out that king. But what happens is, just like any peacekeeping force, let's say a peacekeeping force goes into a country and decides to take residence in that country, what happens? It's not going to be good, right? Because they're supposed to just go as a peacekeeping force and not. And so this obstacle demon decides to rule the earth for himself. And the only being that is able to conquer this Vignasura, or this obstacle demon, Vignasura, actually the literal meaning is, Vigna means obstacles and Asura means demon. And so the only being that is able to overcome or conquer this Vignasura is Ganesh. And so that's why he's called the destroyer of obstacles. And so I was thinking about the significance of this, is what does it take to, what, how do they come, you know, why do obstacles come, and what does it take for us to destroy them? And one of the things that I always try to do is keep it very simple for myself, you know. If I have certain steps, then when I'm in a pinch, I don't have to think too much. You know, because you know what happens when Maya comes? The first thing that happens when Maya comes, our ability to use our intellect goes down. So we are not able to use our intellect as much. And so if I'm able to keep it in bite-sized, easy pieces, then I'm able to go through and then it won't be a problem. So I came up with 8 reasons why obstacles come and 8 ways in which we can destroy them. And so, but before we do that, did any of you count how many times Baba asked us to raise our hand for not only destroying our own obstacles, but helping other people destroy their obstacles? In the Murli, did you count? No. 18 times. 18 times. So do you think God didn't have anything else to do? He just wanted us to, you know, entertain us for 18 times. He asked us the same question. Why do you think Baba asked us to raise our hands 18 times? To make sure, right? So even if we didn't have any obstacle, we should be really careful. If God's asking us something 18 times, then we really have to be cautious, because we never know. Tomorrow when we go back to our service places, which obstacle is going to come? So if you don't remember the first time we raised our hands, then we'll remember the second time we raised our hands. And if we don't remember the second time we raised our hands, then we'll remember the third time. And in that way, if we don't remember the 15th time or the 16th time, at least the 18th time I will remember, yes, I raised my hand. And so I was thinking about this, is why did Baba stress this so much? You know, why did Baba stress this so much? And I really feel that the different qualities are needed for overcoming your own obstacles, and different qualities are needed for helping other people overcome their obstacles. What quality do you think you need to help other people overcome their obstacles? Love. Close to love, I was thinking of generosity. That you need a very, very big heart. You know, because we get totally stuck in people's stories, right? And we have various reasons why we shouldn't help other people. And all really we need to do when Baba says to help other people destroy their obstacles is first is at the level of thought. You know, at the level of thought, I don't remember the story of that person from 10 minutes ago, 2 hours ago, one day ago, that I keep upgrading my vision of that soul. And it's easy, you know, for us sitting in this room and everything is fine for us to think that way. But if we go back to a service place and someone keeps annoying you the same thing over and over and over again, we have to remember at that time that, yes, I raised my hand for Baba. I raised my hand that I would definitely help someone else destroy their obstacles. And if I remember their story, then I won't be able to do it. And if I remember, you know, good wishes really actually takes very little, but also it takes an open heart. You know, it takes something that is that we have to step out of this drama, we have to step out of this constant conflict or tug of war or whatever is going on between us and other people. We have to step out of it and we have to be able to really look at them as souls without the script. You know, when Baba uses the word drama, what he's actually doing, he's using it as the word movie. So at that time, the language Baba used was drama, but it actually means a movie, right? Because when he says a fly is flying and it'll repeat 5,000 years, so what happens? That's what happens in a movie. Is it's short and a fly, you know, flew, and then 5,000 years later it's going to fly again. And so what he means is it's a movie. So in a movie, there are all these actors, right? And all these actors have scripts. So when you're watching a movie, are you going to say, hey, you, that actor right there, stop doing that. Don't do that there, you know? Don't say that. Can you say that in a movie? No. It's just a movie going on, and they have their pre-assigned script, and they are following that script accordingly. And so what happens is when I get too caught up in that script, when I get too caught up in their script, and when I get too caught up in my script, then I am not able to help other people destroy their obstacles. Because I'm just getting too involved in what is going on. And I loved what Baba said today, that someone asked Baba about business. And what did he say? Said, what do I know about your business? And so what happens is business or anything, right? Business or story or this person insulted me. And yesterday something Dadi said was so beautiful. Many things Dadi said were very beautiful yesterday. But one thing she said was about insult. The maximum sorrow we take is because we feel insulted. And so my test paper is, if someone comes to insult me, am I able to still help them overcome their obstacles? So that is my ultimate test paper. And so the test paper is not the insult. The test paper is not the person. The person is just a messenger, right? And they're just telling you what's going on. And for example, if I don't have all this stuff inside me, then it won't come out. For example, if you have an orange, right? You squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. You squeeze an orange, anything else comes out? No. So if you squeeze me or you, whatever is inside comes out. So these people are just helping the squeezing. They're not our, you know, enemies. They're not all these things. And so the thing I liked about what Baba was saying today was how he's not involved in our business. So what Baba's role in our lives should also be our role in other people's lives, and that is he looks at us beyond the script. He's not looking at this role, he's not looking at saying, you know, you the businessman, or you this person, and you this and this. He's not looking at all of that. You know, he kept saying that today, he said it once, is I am here to make you into deities. And so we have to remember too, why did I come here? If I remember why I came here, why did I come here? Why did you all come here? I never thought really I'd get up and one day and say, hey, I want to become a deity. Did any of you think that before you came? I want to become a deity? But, you know, as time goes on, Baba tells us, no, you have to become deities. For whatever reason we have come here, now we know that we are here to become deities. And so deities, whoever squeezes, whatever they squeeze, what should come out? Our good wishes and pure feelings that they become destroyers of obstacles. That's all should come out of me. So whoever squeezes, however hard the squeeze is, we have to remember that it is a reflection on me. Whatever is coming out is a reflection on me. It's not a reflection on the person squeezing. Is it a reflection on the person squeezing? And so, one of the reasons I was thinking also about why obstacles come. And I feel that we let Maya come in between us and other people, instead of having Baba between us and other people. So in any relationship, if there's Baba between me and the person, then the relationship is very different. And if there is Maya, what happens if there's Maya between me and this relationship? Several things happen, actually. Maya is an interesting thing, and actually I feel Maya is a very important force for Baba to see how much transformation has happened in us. I feel drama and Baba use Maya to see what's going on with the soul. And so Maya is a shapeshifter. You know what a shapeshifter is? It takes on the form of whatever your weakness is. So a shapeshifter is, let's say, it can take on any form, right? You come in and you put it in that little glass, and Maya will take on the form of that glass. And so Maya, of course, doesn't need to take on the form of the glass. That's what a shapeshifter is. But Maya, what happens is, takes on any form that is my weakness. And so the first thing that happens with Maya is I start believing her. I start believing that illusion, right? If it's taken on the form of a weakness, it's taken on the form of anger, or it's taken on the form of something, then I start believing that that is true. And once I start believing that is true, then all the old stories about that start coming to life. So you could take anything, for example, like a shapeshifter, right? And so, let's say someone is, you're working with someone all the time, you know, in the center, you're living with them, you're working with them, and they do something really silly every day, right? And this, it could be something they don't follow one of the maryadas. They always get up, come late for class. Let's say that. You're living with someone in the center, or you're living with someone and they always come late for class. And so what form does Maya take in this case? So Maya takes the form of your weakness, and that is, you know, they always come late. They should come on time. And what is the mistake here? Them coming late? Is that the mistake here? The judgment, I was thinking that to expect people to live up to what you think is right, right? Baba is telling them, Baba is telling me, the Murli is going on, and they have to decide. And so when you hold so much, like the judgment, you hold this so true, you know, this is true, everyone should come on time, class starts then, and how dare they come late? And so this kind of feelings of being right, I feel that is the mistake. Them coming late is just the squeezing that's happening. They're squeezing you to see what kind of stuff is going on in your head. And so what happens is, so Maya has taken on this form of you're right. You know, this judgment of this person is right. They have to do it this way. They can't do it any other way. And so then what happens is, then you start remembering every single time. I'm noticing this person for the past 8 years, they're coming late. How long can this go on? And what happens? There's a whole story that goes on. And before you know it, instead of sitting in yoga for half an hour before Murli, what's happening? We are sitting in remembrance of Maya, the shapeshifter, for half an hour. This person did this, and they should have done this, and this should have happened this way, and all of these things, these stories start coming up. And so that's what happens. And so we have to recognize an obstacle when it comes, and that's why we have to see how and when obstacles come. And so we have to recognize when an obstacle comes. And how do we know it's an obstacle? If I am sitting in yoga before Murli, I absolutely cannot be thinking about anyone else or anything else at that time. There could be an earthquake out there, but my task is to be sitting in yoga. Of course, if the building is shaking, then I have to do something, but you know what I mean. And so my task is to be able to sit in yoga. And so that is an obstacle. And so the person coming late is not an obstacle. And so when we let Maya come in between, instead of Baba coming in between us and people, then we are not able to have yoga and obstacles start coming. That's one thing. And interestingly, one time someone asked Dadi Janki about an obstacle, and you know what she said? This was many, many years ago in Oxford. You know what she said? Is because our minds are not clean. And she gave the example of mosquitoes and flies. And she said when a room is not clean, mosquitoes and flies come. So in the same way that we are so powerful that when the mind is not clean, then we attract these obstacles. So do you feel you're that powerful you can attract? How many of you met Dadi Kumarka? She was quite an amazing soul, wasn't she? You know, many times when I see Madhuban and I see the expansion and I see all of this, I feel it's the Dadi's purity that attracted this, right? This abundance, these buildings, these things, everything, right? You see Manmohini and you see Shantivan, you see all of those, is the purity of Dadi Kumarka, all the Dadis, Dadi Janki, everyone. And so if purity can attract something so powerful, something so tangible, what do you think our weakness, the uncleanliness of our mind will attract? It will attract an obstacle. Even recently, just a few days ago, I was reading something and Baba was saying, if anything happens, it is the weakness of your own intellect because you weren't able to judge properly. That's why something comes. And so to remember that if obstacles are coming, to really be very honest and open with yourself and see what is it that is inside me that is unclean, that needs to be cleansed. It could be, I'm not saying it is, because there are various reasons why obstacles come, but one of them could be uncleanliness. And the next one is desires. So if I have a desire, something should be this way, what happens? Drama is very interesting. It'll test you to see whether you're okay with it not being that way. And so whatever is going on, if I have this desire that it should be this way, then we know that if an obstacle is coming, then it is my desire for it to be a certain way that's making it an obstacle. And it could be various things, right? It could be, even in the case of this example that I was giving, this person coming late every day. For the past 8 years, they came late every day. And so I think it's an obstacle because the person is coming late every day. It's my desire that it has to be a certain way. And the other thing I was thinking is, you know, it's an interesting thing about desires, is when you, to overcome desires, what do you think you need to overcome desires? You just need knowledge. You know why? There is actually a lot of research done these days on happiness. You know, there's a whole branch of psychology called positive psychology. And in the US, where I come from, they do a lot of research on positive psychology and especially on happiness. And they have some very interesting results done from research on happiness. And one of the interesting results is this, that they asked people who won the lottery and people who were paralyzed, right, who lost their legs, you know, use of their limbs, a year later, who was happy? Who was happy? A year later, they asked a set of people who were paralyzed and a set of people who won the lottery. Guess what? They are the same. They are both equally happy. And what they found was, let's say you have a desire for something, right? You really want it. What they found is that 3 months later, the novelty of it wears off. For example, you want a really good car. You know, you want a really expensive car. And what we do is we go out, let's say if we do go out and buy this expensive car, we'll see a sharp increase in happiness. But 3 months later, it doesn't matter whether I bought a car for whatever, $10,000 or $200,000, right? It doesn't matter. But what happens is if I buy a car worth $200,000, I have to work for it and pay off for the next 10 years. And so I'm giving a physical example, but it could be anything. It could be something you desire in your life, but nothing really just comes like that. Everything has a price. So every desire that we have, I have to pay a price for it. And so what they have noticed is 3 months later, it doesn't matter whether you have a, you know, whatever. Whether, let's say, I had to have emergency surgery, gallbladder surgery, right? And I keep thinking, I don't want emergency gallbladder surgery. I don't want emergency gallbladder surgery, you know. And so that's also really a desire, right? I don't want something negative to happen to me. But what they've noticed is 3 months later, it really doesn't matter. Even if you've had emergency gallbladder surgery, it doesn't matter. And so whether you bought the car or you won the lottery or you had surgery, 3 months later, it's all the same. And so I feel when you have knowledge, right? When you know that by you receiving something, whatever the object of your desire is, then it really doesn't matter in the long run whether I have it or not, then I won't have that desire. Because what I'm doing is by having this desire, I'm creating many obstacles in my progress, in my life. in my connection with Baba, I'm creating many obstacles. So yesterday when Dadi was saying that the Brahmins, the most amount of sorrow we take is because of insults, and also the desire we have is always for respect, right? So that is a desire. If I have a desire for respect, and really, does it matter if someone respects me or not? Because ultimately, the only thing that matters is my own self-respect. I could have 2,000 people respecting me, but if I don't have self-respect, then I won't feel it. If I really want to feel that connection with Baba, then I have to sit in my own self-respect. I have to find it within myself. Nothing external will do. And so when I remember these things, then it's easier to overcome those desires. It's easier to say, no, I don't want this, because it's not going to make me any happier. Isn't it easier to, when you remember these things, isn't it easier to say, no, I don't want it. The next one, of why obstacles come, is arrogance. I feel arrogance, interestingly enough, doesn't do the trick of bringing obstacles to us. But arrogance deceives us. And in that deception, obstacles come. Because we are not able to discern properly what is happening. Because the self, we have an immense capacity for self-deception. It's really, really amazing, our capacity for self-deception. And in that capacity for self-deception, and that capacity for self-deception really happens because of arrogance. And in that capacity for self-deception, obstacles come. So how do we deceive ourselves? You know, when we say, let's say, remember we were saying that obstacle is, I'm not able to connect with Baba, I'm not able to experience my original qualities, I'm not able to make effort, I'm not able to progress. Someone was sharing that if they want to progress really in life, then something is blocking. And so, how do we deceive ourselves? One of the ways I was thinking is the story we tell ourselves about things. Yes. The story we tell ourselves about these, anything, right? It could be something as simple as at Amritvela, right? At Amritvela, I'm sleepy. And if I'm arrogant, then I'll just tell myself, oh, I woke up anyway. You know? I sat with Baba, I said, good morning. It doesn't matter that the whole Amritvela passed and then I wasn't able to connect with Baba or experience one of my original qualities. So this capacity for self-deception and arrogance really brings obstacles. How many did we finish so far? Anyone was counting? Three? No. Maya? Desires, arrogance, uncleanliness, insult, a few, so five or six, so a couple more. One of the things I was also thinking about was you know this word that Baba uses in Hindi is tufan and tofa. Tufan is a storm. Actually, Tufan is a hurricane, like a typhoon, right? That's Tufan. So it's a hurricane. And Tofa is a gift. So an obstacle actually could be a gift. Actually, all obstacles are gifts. Because at least it's telling you where you are. But at least, if not all obstacles, maybe some of them are desires, some of them are my own arrogance, some of them are all these things, but some obstacles really are gifts. And I was especially thinking about an obstacle with your body, right? When you get very sick. And you might be sitting there and thinking, where is the blessing? A couple of years ago, I had this experience. I got very sick and I was sitting in the hospital and thinking, where is the blessing? And then I remembered, this is not the time to be asking myself this question, where is the blessing? The blessing comes afterwards. The gift comes afterwards. But to remember that obstacles come because it's a gift. It's a gift that really, in so many ways, you know, it's a gift of being able to go beyond the body. It's the gift of being able to really use that time instead of just doing service, to really use that time connecting with Baba. So in so many ways, that especially I've noticed this obstacle that comes with the body is such a gift. And then the last one, and then we'll go into how to overcome them. But the last reason is so, the last reason why obstacles come is so we understand and have compassion for others. If we don't get obstacles, right, Baba, many times Brahma Baba shares his experience, right? You know, all the storms in his head, all the storms come to him. And if he didn't go through all of the things he went through, he wouldn't have been able to become perfect. He wouldn't have been able to understand us. You know, many of us say, Shiv Baba, you've always been incorporeal anyway, so what do you know what's going on with us? But we can't say that to Brahma Baba, right? Is because he has been through it and he's passed with flying colors. He's been through every obstacle in the book. No money, bad health, people who defamed him, people who've insulted him, everything. Right? His own family, the whole community, everything he's been through. And so because he's able to really have compassion and also understand us. And I remember one time having an experience. It was an experience of Dharmaraj, and it was not very pleasant. It was in meditation I had this experience of Dharmaraj. At that time, I was doing something, and Baba was trying to tell me, don't do it. And this feeling was that Baba showed two instruments. And Baba said, they went through the same thing you went through, but they didn't get stuck, and you are getting stuck. But not only was that, but the other thing that was very interesting was that when I was experiencing the sorrow of Dharmaraj, that I did this and I got stuck and I didn't take help from Baba, I didn't overcome whatever I was supposed to overcome, at that point it was inconsolable sorrow. No one could help me. You know, now my foot is hurting, I can go say, oh, you know, my friend, my foot is hurting, and they'll give you a little sympathy, and then you accept that sympathy, and all of those things happen, right? We have each other. I mean, it doesn't have to be that bad, but we have each other. If something happens, we're able to tell each other, and things, we get clarity and all of those things. But what I've noticed at that time, this experience of Dharmaraj, was that nothing was working. You know, I couldn't take any support from anyone at that time. All I could do was experience this deep, deep repentance. And no one could help me go past that deep repentance. And so when these obstacles come, I've noticed if I get stuck, I always remember that experience now, that if I get stuck, my state will be that at the end. That I will not be able to take support from Baba, I will not be able to take support from the family, I won't be able to do all of those things. And I will have this repentance. But the interesting thing was this, that these two instruments went through the same thing and they didn't get stuck. And so when we become examples, so an obstacle comes because we not only learn what it is to have compassion for other souls, but as an example, yes, this person, you know, had the same thing, but they passed. Right? So we have to be those good examples, right? You can either be a good example or a bad example. You are an example, either one. Yeah. People can use you as a bad example or people can use you as a good example. But if you want to be a good example, you want to really feel victorious, you want to really feel like you've accomplished something, and then it's good to be a good example. And in that, then you feel, oh, yes, I was able to do this. So before we start on how to overcome them, any questions? No? All right. And so the first thing is, yesterday Dadi said something so sweet. She said, I really, really am a soul. Do you remember that from yesterday? She was saying, I really, really am a soul. And so to overcome an obstacle, that is the first thing I have to remember. I really, 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 really am a soul. And why would that change? What happens when you remember that? Detach from whatever is going on. You know what happens, right? When we give the course, what do we tell people? When you become body conscious, all the qualities of body consciousness automatically come. So when you become soul conscious, all the qualities of soul conscious automatically come. And so when you become soul conscious, also purity automatically comes. And if uncleanliness or body consciousness can bring obstacles, then soul consciousness can destroy obstacles. And it really try it. You know, I'm not, all of these things I really practiced and I'm sharing, so try it. Try it. Next time an obstacle comes, right? Just remember, I really, really, really am a soul. And the next one is, I am Baba's child. You know, one of the things that Baba said on the 14th, the Murli of the 14th, I loved it. He said that every soul has a right to God's love. Every soul is worthy of God's love. So I am a soul, I am Baba's child, and I'm drawing his love into myself. I'm a soul, I'm Baba's child. Just by remembering that I, the soul, am Baba's child, what happens when you remember I, the soul, am Baba's child? Whatever are Baba's qualities become your qualities. You know, did you notice how we all look like our parents? Some shape or form, right? Our nose or eyes or something, we look like our parents. And every time I go to the doctor, they ask, so do you have any history of any diseases? Because physically we share the same DNA. the same genetic makeup. But when I remember I am Baba's child, then what happens? Spiritually, I share the same DNA as Baba. So if Baba is the ocean of love, then I am the junior ocean of love, the little ocean of love. He's the big ocean of love and I'm the tiny ocean of love. And if Baba is pure, I am pure. Baba is peace, I am peace. So we have the same spiritual DNA. So not only I am a soul, I belong to Baba, but I'm drawing His love. But also there is that love within me also. And so not only am I drawing love, but also the same love that Baba has within Him, I have within myself. The third one is about desires. We have to become free from desires. How do we become free from desires? Is first we have to have disinterest. And so the way we have disinterest is when Baba uses the one slogan that helps me all the time to have disinterest. Anytime, anywhere, if I want to have disinterest, I just remember this. And that is, it's time for me to go home. It's my return journey. It's time to pack up. All this expansion about this and this and this, it doesn't matter. It's time for me to go home. And the next one. How many of you have either read or heard about Harry Potter? They're very spiritual. If you get a chance, you should read it. Don't tell anyone I said this sitting here, but there's a very interesting concept that only Baba shares with us. And that concept, every once in a while, happens in the Harry Potter series. And that concept is that I have done this before. I am that same soul from the previous kalpa. I am that same soul that has conquered this obstacle. I have it in me and I will be able to conquer it again. It's a very important spiritual concept and only Baba gives that to us. You know, there are many things many people have in other spiritual studies, but that particular one is a very important tool. I am that same soul from previous cycle. I have been able to conquer this obstacle before and I'm going to do it now. I have done it. It's guaranteed. And I've done it many, many times in the past. Interestingly enough, in the Harry Potter series, a few times the hero, Harry, uses that to overcome the demons that he's fighting. So it's not just physical demons, but all our spiritual non-physical obstacles also can be slain with that thought. I am that same soul from previous cycle. How many did we finish? Five? Four. Five. Okay, soul, God, Baba's child, home, returning home, becoming free from desire. I'm that same soul from the previous cycle. All right. And the next one is, whatever I need will come to me. Do you really feel that? Do you feel whatever you need will come to you? Do you feel you have to go after things and really, you know, struggle and all of those things? Whatever is our due will come to us. You know, it won't pass us by. If something is meant for me, it will come to me. But not only if something is meant for me, if it's not coming to me, I don't need it. Whatever I need, I have. You know, whatever, right now, what do we need? Right now, this minute. To remember Baba, what do I need? Nothing. Right? We're comfortable, we are seated, we are awake. All I have to do is sit and remember Baba. And so at any given moment, if I keep thinking that way, because our desires really, what desires do or what this feeling is, whatever I want, I want, I want, what happens is that I think I would need it or that it's important. But really at any given moment, we don't really need that much. So whatever I need will come to me. If it's not coming to me, what does that mean? I don't need it. And that we have to have that trust in Rama, you know. I always like when Baba uses this phrase. He says, if you hero actors don't like the drama, if you hero actors don't trust the drama, then who will? Right? I'm a hero actor and the drama will provide whatever I need. I don't need much. So whatever I need will come to me. The next one, this requires practice. And that practice is take few times during the day, 3, 4, 5, how many ever times, and try to have unadulterated remembrance for 1 or 2 minutes. It doesn't seem like a lot, does it? I'm not talking about Amrit Vela or when you're sitting down for meditation. I'm talking about throughout the day. You know, just take 1 or 2 minutes and just have unadulterated remembrance. Unadulterated remembrance for, let's say, 60 seconds, 100 seconds, like that. And when I'm talking about unadulterated remembrance, now is time for traffic control and we could depending on how the music comes on, we can stop. But it could be like this. I am a soul. I really, really am a soul. And Baba's child. And Baba is the ocean of love. He's giving me love. And in that thought, if I think, what am I going to have for lunch? Or how dare that person throw those keys like that? Then it's not unadulterated remembrance. Try it. You know, I mean, you don't need to keep a stopwatch and stuff. But just undiluted, unadulterated remembrance few times a day. That it should be our practice. Just totally, I'm in the soul world, I'm with Baba, I'm in the seed stage. It's a good place to stop. Om Shanti. So we were in the soul world. So I'm in the soul world, I'm connected with Baba. I have my own place in the soul world, very close to Baba. I'm taking His love, His peace. So undiluted, unadulterated remembrance for 1 or 2 minutes. And you have to watch yourself to see, are you able to do that during the day? Are you able to take a break and say, however much work is going on, am I able to take that break and say, yes, let me have undiluted, unadulterated remembrance now. You would be amazed by how your life changes when you see, when you do that, that practice of undiluted, unadulterated remembrance. So the last one. Is very plain and simple. We have to remember this is a test. This is a game. In a game, when you're playing a physical game, you know, Baba always says, like boxing match, the opponent also punches a few times. It can't always be you punching the opponent. You know, the other person also needs to punch a few times. And so Maya is not the only one needs to be getting punched. She also needs to punch you a few times. So if I just remember it's a game, it's a game. And in a game, there's victory, there's defeat. It's just part of the game. But when I remember it's a game, something really interesting happens. That not only is there happiness, but then you want more challenges. And you say, yes, let it come on. Because I'm in a game and I'm going to, you know, conquer this and face this and move this forward. Because it's a game. You know, how many of you play games, either on computers or physically? And so you want a worthy opponent, right? You don't want someone who's wishy-washy. Let's say you're playing tennis and you have someone who doesn't know how to play very well, then you lose interest. It gets very boring. And so the more your capacity increases, the more your skill increases to overcome Maya, then the more Maya comes. So you can, this newness and this freshness, because it's a game. So that, my dear brothers and sisters, is some churnings on how to overcome obstacles. Any questions, any comments? No? All right. So should we have a few minutes of unadulterated, undiluted remembrance?
Looking back on all the steps you've taken to this door. to love on the rocky road of search. Now the fruit is ripe to pick, it takes away the hurt. Do you have the feeling that you now have the key? Would it ever open up to your eternity? Have you met such a friend who never sees your wrongs? Smiles and blesses endlessly as he sings you all his songs. Have you heard such a tale that fills your mind with gems? A wealth so limitless, it never seems to end. Do you have the feeling you now have the key? Would it